I want to discuss Dvar Agada. I like this word. I think this is a very interesting idea. Let's discuss the name of the holiday. The holiday is called what? Purim. People poor who ha goyrol. There's a discussion in Farshim. What does the word poor mean? Poor hu ha goyrol. We have a translation of the word in the Megillah itself. Isn't that very interesting? How often do you have in Tanakh a pasuk where the pasuk itself comes to translate what the word is? Poor appears to be a word that we never heard of before. Pei vav resh, poor. And what does that word mean? Who ever heard of that word?
Not to me.
Persian word. So that held back. That never hold us back. We have Greek words in the Torah. We have Aramaic words. We never have translation. Torah doesn't what? What? And we have Toitophos, right? Vayulid Toitophos. What? I don't know. Okay. This you could something you can debate this. Yeah, we do. We don't. But it definitely is very strange. It's definitely very strange that the Torah, you have a word, if you're already going to use the word, so we assume that people know what the word means, and if they don't know what it means, there'll be a tradition to tell them what the word means. For the pasuk itself to define the word poor, hu ha goyrol. That's a little strange, no? That's a little bit over the top. We don't really have such a... Show me another example in Tanakh. I don't know Tanakh, but maybe you can find me another example where you have another pasuk where the pasuk itself is coming to translate the word for you directly. No, there doesn't translate. It just happens to say, as a matter of fact, that Yaakov called it Galeh, and he called it Yigar So'adusa. It doesn't say that you should know that the translation for Galeh is Yigar So'adusa. It's a record of the facts. There are two partners. There is Yaakov and Lavan. Yaakov called it Galeh. Lavan called it Yigar So'adusa. Torah is not telling us translations. We are figuring it out what the translation is. Where do you have another pasuk in Tanakh where the pasuk says, oh, I have a new word for you? Okay, it's vocabulary day. I remember when I was in first grade, we had a vocabulary test every Friday. Every Friday, I memorized 10 words and the definition. What is this, a vocabulary test here? Poor, who, how, go, roll, what is going on? So I don't have a good answer for you, I really don't, but I did see this in preparing, is that there is really a very big discussion what is indeed the true translation of the word poor. And it touches upon something very interesting. Most commentators will tell you, oh, it's like Rabbi Michal just said, it's a Persian word. It's not in the Hebrew language. It's a Persian word called pur, and the pasuk here is telling us hu hagorol. The Hebrew equivalent is the word goyrol. And the Yom Tov is called Purim. There was a double lottery. There was a lottery, there are many interpretations of what the double lottery refers to, but one of the more popular interpretations is there was a lottery regarding the day and a lottery regarding the month. This is one of 100 answers why it's Purim and not the Yom Tov of Pur. And the technique was, let's make believe there are 354 days in the lunar calendar. There were 354 pieces of paper. Each piece of paper said the day. And then there were 12 pieces on the other side, which are 12 months. You take one, you put your hand into one pot and you take out a day. And you put your hand into the other pot, you take out one of 12 pieces of paper. Now, the day automatically includes a month, right? The day is going to be on the 14th day of a 13th day of Adar. That was the day, 13th day. Then, and you take out a paper and it says Chodesh Tishrei, you know you got a problem. You know something over here is not Minash Shemayim. But if you take out a piece of paper and it says Yud Gimel Adar, and you take out...
Not exactly. Let's say it was numbered 1 through...
Numbered 1, right.
And
each,
take out, let's say, number 100, then it would have to coincide...
A number which coincides with Yud Gimel Adar, and you take out from the other piece of paper Chodesh Adar... Oh, so you see the Minash Shamayim, the fact that it came out, you're testing heaven. You're testing that this is not just a coincidence. Obviously, there's over here some divine intervention. This is what Haman and Achashverosh did. They engaged in holy matters. They didn't just pure coincidence. There was an element of testing Hashem. Is it the Jewish people? It's 70 years since the Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed. They were the chosen nation, but now no longer. They've been replaced, and therefore the end is here. And to prove our point, the end is here. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu is contributing to their demise by allowing the lottery to coincide with each other to show that Hashem is giving His haskama on this event. Okay, it's not just not a simple thing. So therefore, it's a double gurul, the month and the day. That's one of many, many answers. I just want to point out that Ibn Ezra says something which is very, very shocking, and it opens up a very big topic which once upon touched upon. We mentioned last week, Blaise is not here today, he looked up for us that in the Hebrew language, it's one of the smallest languages in the world. I mean, from the popular languages, relative to English, French, the Latin, today all the languages, modern languages where they've come from, and the number of absolute words, which means unique words, is very, very small. It's a very, very small number relative to other languages which have a much larger number of absolute words. The question is, and why? Because what are the words of the Hebrew language? The words of the Hebrew language, Lashon HaKodesh, is only what is found that we extract from Chamisha Chumshei Torah. If you want to be a little more generous, then maybe you can include unique words that are found in Sifrei Nevi'im. If you really want to be generous, you can include in the language words found in Kesuvim. So let's be extremely generous. Let's assume that Lashon HaKodesh includes any word, any absolute word that is found in the entire Tanakh. Does that mean this is it in the holy language of Hashem? Are there no other words? Is that really what it means? Or maybe there are other words, just that they were not necessary. They were not needed. They were not needed to write Tanakh. So you write an essay for your 10th grade teacher. Well, you can include the whole English dictionary. Okay? You can include whatever words you need to say what you need to say. Just because I didn't go use the whole Oxford unabridged version of the English language doesn't mean that the words that are not in my 10th grade essay are not part of the English language. I use the words that I need to use. Hashem has a list of words in His dictionary, and whatever He needed to use are used in Tanakh. It does not necessarily mean that there are not more words. And where will you find those other words? Good question. Where will you find? Maybe in the Apocrypha. They're not Sifrei Kodesh, but there are words there. Who says those words are not part of the tradition? How do we know? We know somehow. We have Nevi'im. I don't know how we could possibly know. But the Ibn Ezra here gives a very fascinating example. Ibn Ezra is of the opinion that there are more words to the Hebrew language. And the word poor is a Hebrew word. How do you like that? It's a word in Lashon HaKodesh. And what it refers to the dice. Or, I don't know, the dice. I'm calling it dice. It refers to the objects that are used to conduct the lottery. Goyrol is like a verb almost. I don't know if it's a verb. It's the action of conducting the lottery. The poor are the objects that you use to do the lottery, and it's a word that's part of the language of Lashon HaKodesh. And it's a fascinating thing. Only because we have a Megillas Esther, is it being revealed another word that is part of Hashem's dictionary that otherwise would never have been revealed, been known, at least not in writing. Maybe there are, I don't know, maybe traditionally there were people, Nevi'im, that told them the whole unabridged edition of Lashon HaKodesh, if there is such a thing, but it's an incredible thing, poor, and that explains a little bit why the Pasuk emphasizes this. Okay, we started with the original question. I'm just playing around here, thinking out loud. That's what Rabbi Mayevsky says. I'm just thinking out loud over here in this idea is Hipil poor hu ha gorol. Gorol, we know what it is. Poor, we're a little bit confused. Commonly, you'll ask the average person, it's a Persian word for lottery, and that's why the holiday is called Purim. We want to be reminded that the holiday took place in Chutz Liaretz, Akati Avde Achashveirosh Anan. There's a lot of reason. But, you know, that's one opinion. It's a very popular opinion, and it's a very, we live with that opinion, but there's a very another fascinating of the Ibn Ezra, who says it's a Hebrew word, and it's a Hebrew word that does not appear anywhere else, but it's a tradition that it's part of Lashon HaKodesh, and it refers more specifically to the actual objects, what we'll loosely translate, the dice or whatever, that are used to conduct this Goral. And when the Pasuk says, Pur Hu HaGoral, the Pasuk therefore, it's not precise because the Goral is the action, the Pur is the object, but I guess if you're... They can be converted one to the other, as we find sometimes nouns are converted into verbs, verbs into nouns. The Pythonim do that without a blink, without in a heartbeat. They'll do it. Yeah.
I was thinking about that. Do Pythonim have words that we don't see anywhere else?
Oh, so where do they get them from?
Yeah, are they?
Well, do they really have words? Do they really have words Pythonim that we don't have anywhere else? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolute words. So. Absolute words, not just words that verbs that come from nouns,
maybe
nouns that come from absolute, absolute words. Maybe, I don't know, probably.
To understand
them, you think so. The Kalir was criticized for going to an extreme in taking nouns and making them into verbs. And taking verbs, even though I don't really understand what the problem is, because that's done with Chumash also all the time. So I don't really see the problem. Maybe he went to an extreme. Maybe the critic, we went to a very big, whatever it is. But it's very interesting, this question, and what the Ibn Ezra says. And if you put the two together, it does, to a degree, answer the question. Pur, in his opinion, is Lashon HaKodesh. The Pasuk is telling you, Pur Hu HaGoral. There's another word in Lashon HaKodesh that describes the lottery, a different element, from a different perspective, from the perspective of the dice. Not from the perspective of the person. There's the gavra and the chefza. The poor is from the perspective of the chefza. The girl is from the perspective of the gavra. And the pasuk is telling you, I'm teaching you a new Hebrew word. The pasuk would never bother. I'll teach you Greek. I'll teach you Persian. Yeah, yafta lakim liyafes. But the pasuk is not going to go out of its way to teach you new words. But it's going to teach you Hebrew words. Lashon kodesh. Oh. Maybe I give a pass. That already is a different league of the pasuk will go on. And it reveals that this holiday, Purim, it opens up for us a new dimension in Kodesh. The whole holiday, according to the Ibn Ezra, is called after the word Pur. And Pur, in his understanding, is a word that is no different than any other word in Tanakh. It's a Hebrew word. But it's a Hebrew word that was hidden from us. The Anoichi Haster Astir Parnai Bayomahu. Purim didn't just reveal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there in hiding. Purim revealed a lot of things, a lot of secrets with Niskale in Purim. The name of the holiday itself. The Megillah, the whole Megillah, what do you mean? The whole Megillah is Giloy. The word Megillah means Giloy, revelation. The Yom Tif itself is a Giloy, a new word. A new word that is Kodesh, and we never would have known, because it's not in Tanakh. So you'll say, but it's Persian? No, he holds it's not Persian. There's a larger vocabulary which we're not privy to, and Purim was a gilui of a new word, a new gilui in Kodesh. It all fits into the theme of what Purim is. Purim, and therefore it makes the word Purim, the name of the holiday, so much richer. If you know, like the standard run-of-the-mill pshat, that it's called Purim because, it was a Yom Tov that happened in Persia, and Haman and Achashverosh, in their vocabulary, they said, let's cast Purim, let's cast lots. It's just what the holiday, how it started, so we're using the vocabulary of Haman and Achashverosh.
Marduk. It's in the back of the book. And we don't know. He was one of the Treyos, or they speculate.
So, why were you calling it by this holiday? But this Mahalik gives it a whole new dimension. It makes it so much richer. Because indeed, it's called a word that is Kodesh. It's a word that's Kodesh that's hidden from us. And it was Niskale. Just like everything in the Megillah represents Giloy, Hashem is behind everything, even in the darkest of times. And even there are words you didn't know a part of the language, which are now in the Skala, and it's called, the Yontif is called with that particular word. Okay, that was one idea. Now another idea. Let's go to another idea.
What is ancient word of the Persian?
I just said that.
The Hebrew word is Goral. Why do you say Purim? We say Pur. Why
do you say Purim?
Why do you say Purim? Purulon. Pur is singular. Why do you say Purim? What is the reason?
2 lines. Month and day. We just spoke about this. We spoke about this for 20 minutes. 2 lots, a day and a month. Okay, next. Let's go to the next idea. All right, let's give some history. There's a very important pasuk that we mentioned last week. Everything that happens in the Megillah is focused on one thing only. Everything swivels around the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And by extension, the return of the Jewish people, the Shavus Ami, everyone is going to come back and live in Eretz Yisrael, the return of the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. When Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael for the very first time, and they were about to take possession, well, I shouldn't say that, before, originally, what did Moshe Rabbeinu tell them? What did he instruct? How should the land be divided? Ach begoyrol yecholei ka'aretz. The way the land will be divided will be through lottery. Everyone will take possession, have a chelek in the Holy Land through a goyrol. A goyrol, that's kodesh. Ochon comes into Eretz Yisrael, he takes in the spoils of Yerichai. Of Yerichai.
Ai.
No, Yerichai. He died, the battle of Ai is when they died because of his schet, but they conquered Yerichai. Yeshua made an announcement, no one should dare take any of the spoils. The spoils will be destroyed, or dedicated to Hashem, whatever, I don't remember, was the burnt? The spoils will be, I don't remember, no one should take for personal benefit any of the spoils of war, of Yerichai. And what happened? Achan did not listen. He took a few little things, garments, a few dollars, whatever it is. And then they went to Ai, and 36 men died. Some say it was only one person, Yasnil ben Kenaz. Right, is that still the one who died? Yasnil ben Kenaz?
Yes, correct.
Shakal Kineged, Rubashel, Sanhedrin, fine. So Chota Yisrael is a very great tragedy. Hashem said, Hashem, they discovered it was Achan, and they cast lots, a goyrol. Yeshua said to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, tell me who did it. Who did it? Hashem, what do you want? You want me to tell you Lashon Hara? So it says in the Pasuk. Hashem says, you want me to tell you who did it? You want me to speak Lashon Hara? I'm not saying Lashon Hara. Who did it? So what did Yeshua do? He cast lots. A goyrol. And who came up in the lottery?
Achan.
What Achan say to Yeshua?
I didn't.
Maybe you did it. You're casting lots? Who says this to me? Maybe what? You believe? So now this is very, very important. This is critical now. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say to Achan? Achan. No.
Yeshua.
What Yeshua say to, I'm sorry. What did Yeshua say to Achan? Achan, if you challenge the validity of the goyrol, then you know what's going
to
happen?
Urim v'tumim was.
I don't know the details. There was a goyrol. There's no question about it. There was a goyrol that came up. If you challenge the authenticity of the goyrol, what is going to happen, Achan? When we'll come into Eretz Yisrael, the people will learn from you to challenge the authenticity of the goyrol. And then this that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us before he died, back in the desert, ach! Begoyrol yecholei ka'aretz. Techolek is that tough? So ach begoyrol. Whatever it is. Ach begoyrol yecholei ka'aretz. Then you're going to a churban for Gan's Klal Yisrael. No one will be a civil war. No one's going to be happy with their possession. What they're taking there to show there's going to be a churban. Ochon, it's all on your shoulders, except. Confess that you are the sinner and the goyrol is emes la'amito. So what do we learn from this? We learn from this the sensitivity to a goyrol. A goyrol is a very delicate thing. people can right away challenge. Can challenge. It takes emuna to accept the girl is correct. Achan was a chayte, but there's a silver lining to the chayte of Achan, and that is only because of him, he publicly went and was mechazek the belief, the emuna of the girl. Ach b'gorol yecholei ka'aretz. He gets credit for that to a degree. It's not for nothing. There's a tradition that he was the composer of Al Kain Nikavelcha. We say every day, every single day, Aleinu, multiple times, who is the one who composed the second half of Aleinu? No one knows for sure. No one really has a good answer. But there's a tradition that it was Ochan. Is that correct? No one can tell you it's correct, because Al Kain Nikave begins with the letters Al is Ayin, Kain is Chaf, Nikave is Nun, Ochon. Ochon has contributed to Klal Yisrael something that is really awesome.
Who says this?
Every Sefer says this. This is Aleph Bay stuff. This is in all, every, even probably the Art School Prophet probably has it there in the bottom of Aleinu, Perish and Aleinu. Ochon contributed to Klal Yisrael something that is really awesome, the emuna in the girl. Now, here's where we go weiter. Now, here I want to tell you something very interesting now. The land that the Jewish people conquered when they came into Eretz Yisrael in time of Yehoshua, was that sanctity that was given to the land permanent? Smachloikis Nugamara. How do we pass in Halacha L'maisa? No, we pass cannot. Kiddusha Rishoyna Kitsha L'shaita Viloy Kitsha L'asalava. Only as long as there was a Mishkan, only as long as there was a Nevuah, the Ruach HaKodesh, it was a Kiddusha that was very, very delicate because it was so sacred. There was a Nevuah, there was Nevim, there was the Shkruvim, there was the Shechina. Kiddusha Rishoyna, the first Kiddusha Kitsha L'shaita, Kitchel Shait Viloi Kitchel Osilavon. When Nebuchadnezzar, and even before him, Sancheriv conquered the land, with the exile of the Jewish people, the land lost its sanctity. And don't confuse that with the Beis Hamikdash. Yerushalayim might be different. Yerushalayim, that sanctity, and the Harabayis, that sanctity could be that state no matter what. But the land itself lost sanctity. What happened when Ezra and Nehemiah brought the Jewish people back to rebuild Eretz Yisrael in the Bayis Sheni? So what is the Rambam Paskin? Kedusha Shnia, the second sanctity invested in the land at the time of the second Bayis, Kidsha L'Shaita, the Kidsha L'Asilava, the Kidsha. Now, we have over here a pasuk that says, Ach b'goyrol yecholei ka'aretz. The land will be divided by... What were they thinking? What were they thinking when Moshe Rabbeinu said those words in the desert? Did they know from Purim? Purim? Whoever heard of Haman? Did they know from even Nebuchadnezzar that there would be a Churban Beis HaMikdash? When they're in the desert, they hear Moshe Rabbeinu issue words. Ach b'gorol yecholei ka'aretz. The land will get its sanctity through the lottery. What does that mean? Yeah, it means we're going to go into the land, we're going to fight against the Canaanim, or we're going to possess the land, we're going to make a lottery, give a Kedusha, and live happily ever after. Guess what? It didn't happen. They came into the land, they divided, they conquered, they made a Goral, and the land was got Kedusha, and then they went into exile, a puff of smoke. The Kedusha dissipated. So was there a fulfillment of the words, Ach b'gorol yecholei ka'aretz, in the conquest of the Bayis Rishon, the Yotzei Mitzrayim, those who came in? No, no, no.
Right.
They were fooling themselves. They come into Eretz Yisrael, they conquered the Canaanim, they divided the land, they made a gorol, and they think, oh, we have just fulfilled what it says in the Torah, Ach b'gorol techolei ka'aretz. And guess what? They were fooling themselves, because when they went into Galus, goodbye, good luck. It's all over. So then when was it fulfilled? Ach b'gorol yecholei ka'aretz. In the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, guess what? There was no Goro, Ezra and Nehemiah. There was no record. There was no record that they came into the land. They conquered it. They fought wars, horrible wars, throughout the entire time of Bayashani. They were fighting, they didn't conquer the whole land. They conquered a much smaller section. And the Kedusha they gave the land the second time around was Kitcha L'Shaita, V'Kitcha L'Asalavai. But the Torah says, if you want to give the land Kedusha, Ach B'Gorol Yechol Karetz. Where is the kiyum of the pasuk Ach B'Gorol Yecholei Karetz? And you know what the answer is? It's a shock, shocking answer. Shockwaves throughout the entire world. When Hashem said Ach B'Gorol Yecholei Karetz, you know what Hashem was thinking? When these two men, you can call them even men, Haman Harasha and Achashverosh, Yesh Aymim, Tipish, Yesh Aymim, he was a Chacham. A Chacham was a Tipish. He was a Chacham was a Tipish, and a Rasha. A Rasha by the name of Haman, and a Chacham was a Tipish, them making a Goyrol. Them making a Goyrol. And that Goyrol triggered Leich Kinois, that's Kol HaYehudim, Hanimsim Bishushan Vitsumu Olai, and brought about the miracle La Yehudim Oysa Oira Vesimcha Vesazin Vikar, and now triggered the permission and the encouragement for Klal Yisrael to return to Eretz Yisrael and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and repossess the land. So let me ask you, so where was the Goyrol? Which Goyrol in the Torah was the Goyrol where it was fulfilled? Techolei Karetz. It wasn't the Goyrol in the time of Yehoshua, because that didn't last very long. It lasted, but not forever. And there was no Goyrol when they conquered the second time. And that was the Kedusha for La'asalava. That Kedusha never went away. It was the Goyrol of Achashverosh and Haman when they made that Goyrol Lahashmid Laharag Ulaabed Eskola Yehudim Minar V'Ad Zokein Taf V'Noshim B'Yoy Mechad. That was the Goyrol which triggered, changed the world, turned the world upside down. Leich Kenois Kol HaYehudim to prevail, to succeed, to bring the miracle HaYehudim Oysa Oyer V'Simcha V'Sasin V'Kar, and to now begin the conquest of Eretz Yisrael and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and to give it a Kedusha L'Shaita and a Kedusha L'Asilava. Who would imagine? Who would imagine that's the pshat in the pasuk? But that's the only pshat. That's the only pshat in the pasuk. And this is an unbelievable Musa Haskell. You don't really know anything. You see things, you hear things, you think you know, you understand. You know nothing. You know nothing of what the emes, what the depth of truth and what Hashem has in store in mind for a person. It's a mystery. And the only thing you can take out of Purim is emuna. Hope and emuna. To be a maimon and to have hope. Yeah, to have hope, to be, what was the word? Sin. Sivru.
Sivru al Hashem Elokav.
Sivru al Hashem Elokav. Have hope, emuna in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Have a wonderful day.